Sitting down with a United States president? This is a big deal. It's a matter of life and death, regime preservation.
Trump and Kim arrive in Singapore for historic talks. It's Monday, June 11th. This is VOA Asia. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Join us as well on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, VOA is in Singapore as we find out what's happening ahead of the summit. Implications loom as a result of the talks. Education for Pakistan's poor. It's all on today's VOA Asia. President Donald Trump is in Singapore for his upcoming summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, a meeting the U.S. leader says he's feeling very good about. Ahead of his arrival, Trump acknowledged he is heading into unknown territory for the meeting Tuesday. In response to a question from VOA News just before heading to Asia from the Group of Seven summit in Canada, Trump said, "I really feel confident about the unprecedented encounter between a sitting American president and a member of the family dynasty which has maintained iron fist control over one of the world's most reclusive countries for three generations." Trump added he believes Kim wants to do something great for his people, but Trump cautioned that Kim won't have that opportunity again if the talks do not go well, describing this opportunity for diplomacy with the United States as a, quote, one-time shot. VOA Asia's Ira Melman dives deeper into the summit implications with Sung-Yoon Lee, professor of Korean studies at the Fletcher School at Tufts University in Boston.
The two men, Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump, have arrived, of course, in Singapore, a third country, like two prize fighters visiting a third country for a massive heavyweight bout. Now, I see that President Trump's comment that if the talks don't proceed to his liking, he'll just get up and leave as posturing. I don't think the president can afford to do that, even if he finds the conversation, the negotiation with Kim Jong-un quite disagreeable, because it would be disastrous PR for the U.S. government, for the United States as a whole. Trump will come across as petty, as petulant, as the troublemaker, and Kim, the peacemaker. So I don't think it was an ingenuous comment. I think it's posturing, trying to put some pressure on North Korea. At the same time, it's been reported that Kim Jong-un is scheduled to take off from Singapore on the day of the summit at 2 p.m. The two are to sit down at 9 a.m. And of course, there's some travel time getting to the airport and so forth. So Kim is posturing, I would say, at a higher level, basically telling Trump, oh, I'm going to give you all of 3 hours. And President Trump has said that he would be able to size up Kim Jong-un in the first minute using his gut or his feel and touch. This is very concerning because, once again, I think President Trump assumes that he can tame the North Korean dictator by virtue of his long background in business, by virtue of his intelligence and charisma. And that shows you what President Trump felt in calling Kim last year a rocket man, little rocket man, sick puppy, maniac, madman. Kim may be all of those things, but he is very crafty. And whereas President Trump said, I've been preparing for this moment all my life, Kim literally has. As bizarre and weird as he comes across to us in the United States and in normal countries, the Kim royal family, it's no joke for them. Sitting down with a United States president, this is a big deal. It's a matter of life and death, regime preservation. And Kim has been groomed since he was a child as heir, and he has been preparing for this. And there are playbooks, of course, scripts, strategies, perfected by his father and his grandfather going back to the 1960s and 70s, when North Korea was able to put tremendous pressure on the United States during the Vietnam War by attacking Americans, shooting down a U.S. plane in 1969, killing 31 U.S. servicemen, and not paying any kind of price for that kind of lethal attack. So North Korea knows just how far to push the envelope, and it also knows how to negotiate with the United States.
President Trump and Mr. Kim are scheduled to meet at 9 a.m. Tuesday. Stay with VOA Asia for more on this summit in just a moment. These are among some of the top Asia stories currently trending on voanews.com. Trump feeling very good about upcoming summit with Kim. Trump says meeting with Kim, one-time shot for North Korea. Iran, spurned by United States, angrily watches Trump-North Korea talks. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories and a whole lot more on Facebook at VOA Asia, as well as our voanews.com website. We continue with VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. VOA correspondent Bill Gallo has been in Singapore for several days. He now shares his observations with VOA Asia's Ira Melman, beginning with what we don't know about Kim Jong-un's activities while in Singapore.
Well, yesterday he arrived here, and there was a lot of secrecy involved. You know, we didn't know how he was going to get here. He came in on a Chinese 747, an Air China plane. He then went to his luxurious hotel in Singapore in a Mercedes-Benz limousine with blacked-out windows. You couldn't see anything of him at all. He then actually met with the Singapore Prime Minister. Didn't really say much at all, but they had that meeting. He did express optimism. The Singapore Prime Minister later relayed that Kim expressed optimism about the talks. But, you know, what is he doing tomorrow? Is he going to be involved in talks with U.S. officials? We don't really know. Obviously, there's not a lot of transparency when it comes to what North Korean leaders are doing.
What is the overall tone? What is the security presence throughout Singapore?
This is a place that relies heavily on surveillance rather than actually, you know, a heavy-handed kind of police presence. I mean, there are just surveillance cameras everywhere. It's shocking sometimes how little visible police presence there is on the streets here.
Do you get a feeling of the tone of the city? Is it any different, or is there expectation? Is there any kind of excitement about this? How do you gauge that?
Honestly, it's sort of a spectacle, to be completely honest with you. I think a lot of people here joke around about it. They've come up with, like, you know, Donald Trump hamburgers and Kim Jong-un cocktails. There is a Kim Jong-un impersonator who's making his way around town. He was actually brought in by the Singapore authorities and warned not to go to any of the summit events. And there's also a Donald Trump impersonator. Trump-Kim branding is on a lot of things here. It's on water bottles. It's a real event, and Singapore is really playing it up.
VOA correspondent Bill Gallo in Singapore. Who will have the upper hand in the U.S.-North Korea talks tomorrow, and what is at stake for President Trump and Mr. Kim? We continue the discussion between VOA Asia's Ira Melman and Sungyoon Lee, professor of Korean studies at the Fletcher School at Tufts University in Boston.
Each party will put on a good face, and both the U.S. and North Korea will claim victory. North Korea will be able to sell it as having tamed the mighty United States, as having compel the United States to lift sanctions, or at the very least to stop enforcing sanctions, which will give momentum to China and South Korea to return to the heady old days of giving North Korea close to $1 billion a year by each country, by China and South Korea. And President Trump will be able to sell it as a victory for himself, that he has tamed the North Korean leader, that he has de-escalated, diffused this tense standoff, and so on. But in reality, North Korea will walk away, Kim Jong-un will walk away with far greater gains, because his ultimate aim is to buy time and money with which to perfect his own nuclear posture review. And having ensnared the United States, having trapped President Trump into an endless process of negotiations, protracted negotiation process rather than a final resolution, Kim will be calling the shots. If President Trump in the next, let's say, 6 months grows tired that North Korea is not delivering on its commitment or even in blatant violation, what will Trump do in the face of Kim Jong-un saying, come on, let's talk again, let's have another meeting, I'll come to the UN General Assembly and speak there, please invite me to the White House, and, oh, please come to North Korea anytime? Then it will be very difficult politically for President Trump to walk away from a deal that he himself has endorsed in Singapore.
Does this open up the possibility of military action against North Korea by the United States or anyone else?
One cannot rule it out, but it's highly unlikely. And of course, history is a guide. History doesn't necessarily mean that everything, the status quo, will remain the same forever. But since the end of the Korean War 65 years ago, at no point has the United States or South Korea retaliated, used military force in the face of countless North Korean attacks, lethal attacks included. So it's just poor policy for the U.S. to start a war against a country like North Korea, which repeatedly has shown its capability and intention to shoot back. Unlike other countries, unlike Afghanistan or Syria or Iraq or Libya, North Korea has the will and the means to inflict heavy casualties on its adversary, and I think the U.S. doesn't want to go there.
Our thanks to Sung-In Lee, professor of Korean studies at the Fletcher School at Tufts University in Boston, for those insights of the upcoming summit. There's much more on our Facebook page at VOA Asia, and be sure to join us tomorrow as the historic summit happens in Singapore. Coming up, education for Pakistan's poor. You're listening to VOA Asia. This news from VOA Asia: Kim Jong-un on Sunday strayed further from his North Korean home than he has at any other time since taking power in 2011. The North Korean leader arrived in Singapore midday Sunday, flying on a Chinese jet. Kim on Tuesday is set to meet U.S. President Donald Trump in their historic summit. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for the latest on the summit and other developments. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, Ala Bukshbalak, who was born disabled, teaches children in a poor neighborhood of Karachi, Pakistan, that lacks basic services. He teaches at a school that was founded by a Karachi University student that is tuition-free and is aimed at educating girls from the area who would otherwise have no educational opportunities. Cheyenne Salim in Karachi filed this report for VOA. It's narrated by Bejan Hamdard.
Born disabled, Ala Bakhsh never let his disability define who he is. His love of education drives him every day to teach children at the local Tikri Education Center.
I teach English here, but I really enjoy teaching math as well.
A recent high school graduate, Ala Bakhsh doesn't want his education to stop there.
I just graduated from high school with really good grades, and my plan is to eventually get my PhD so that I can bring change to our community that is behind in so many ways, and I want to see kids get educated here.
The Tikri Education Center was founded by Ghanwar Shafi and her brothers in 2013. Ghanwar, a Karachi University student, says old traditions have hindered girls from attending school.
Girls were not allowed to go to school, but now, because of this center, we have more than 30 girls who come here to study. We don't charge tuition here, and we even provide books to the children.
And the female students appreciate it.
Before coming to the center, I had no idea what a college or university was. I never knew the difference between science and art. I want to become a doctor and open a free clinic here. I also will be teaching science here in the center.
Before the center, all we knew was that I would study till fifth grade and just do daily tests at home, like cleaning after that. But now we know the value of education.
Despite the lack of basic services or any government or non-government assistance, Ala Bakhsh and Ghanwar Shafi are doing everything they can to foster education in this area. For Cheyenne Salim in Karachi, Pakistan, this is Bejan Hamdard, VOA News.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. One of the best uses for your smartphone is to listen to us on your phone. You can find us on iTunes and SoundCloud. You can stream us on VOA Asia Facebook. And you can also hear us on great radio stations like Helps Radio at Help University in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. We thank our director, Tracy Carter, engineer Zineb Abdel Rahman, our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day.